This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger. And I'm playing with food. I know about the Spirit. I work with it day in and day out. Let me tell you, the Spirit is great. Without getting all theological on you, let me just say that I couldn't get through a day without the uplifting nature of the Spirit. For my playing with food, though, I want to know more about spirits, you know, the other kind of uplifting. So I went on a bit of a spirits tour of the Central Coast. Craft spirits are a bit of a thing on the Central Coast lately. I did a quick check, and there are 2 distilleries in Ventura County, 2 distilleries in Monterey County, 3 distilleries in Santa Barbara County, and more than a dozen distilleries in San Luis Obispo County. I probably didn't catch them all, but the number is growing, and so is their popularity. Personally, I'm interested in vodka. I bumped into a grape-based vodka over the summer, and that's what got me intrigued. Of the several wineries in Paso Robles making grape-based vodkas, Ryan Horn and David Vondersecht at Azio Distillery agreed to meet up with me one early morning.
Didn't know a whole lot about it. Took a trip over to Hungary. Spent a few days studying with a company called Hagio Distillation over there. Came back after getting my hands wet there and just started picking up bits of education and getting in here and doing it and kind of fine-tuning our process. And David here has been an amazing help in developing the knowledge we need and the skills we need to start producing these higher-end vodkas, grape-based and also cider or apple-based vodkas that we do. From there, we're expanding into some rum production, some new brandy production that we have going now, and just having fun with it at this point.
Talk about transferable skills. I must say Ryan knows what he's doing. He's got a small corner in a warehouse that he shares with other tenants in the booze industry. His still is amazing. Because distillery equipment is one of his businesses, he was able to source and build the still himself. I was expecting to see the giant pot stills like I saw while whiskey tasting in Scotland and Ireland. His was very different. There was a small pot, but then there was a short column and a tall column made of copper and porthole windows. I'll let Ryan explain the rest.
It's a grape that's turned into wine. We bring it in. Our still is a 500-liter still, or we can hold approximately 130 gallons. Once we put that wine into the still, we have an actual mixing motor that stays continuously mixing the product as we heat it. And we use a fairly large steam boiler here, and it runs steam through a jacket, which develops the boil inside of the kettle. And then that goes through our copper lines here and works into our first chamber, which is a 4-chamber distillation section. It's used for the brandies and also used for the rum. Anything we're doing that's not as high-end or neutral spirit like the vodka. But also, it's our first run for the vodka. So we'll run through our 4-chamber, getting us a purity that's usually in the upper 170s, lower 180s as far as the proofing of it. And that's our initial stripping run before we start the vodka production. We'll take that and combine it with additional grape or cider or wine or cider as we put it in back into the kettle for a second run, and typically we do that at about a 25% alcohol rate or a 50 proof. And we redistill that again, and that, when redistilled, runs through our 16-chamber plate and gets essentially redistilled 16 times before it comes out the condenser there, and that's where we're getting the very high purity of vodka that goes into our Azeo brand. It gets cut at that point down to an 80 proof. If you see triple distilled, usually it's a pot still that's being ran 3 times. With this, we're doing a light amount of recondensing, turning that steam spirit back into a liquid and raining down to fill these plates with a layer that's usually 1/2 to 3/4 inch thick liquid. And that liquid is reboiling and re-steaming 16 times before it actually goes out into the condenser to be turned into a neutral spirit.
So it's being distilled 16 times in one go?
Yes.
My first degree is in chemistry, so I'm intrigued about the name.
And Azeo, the name, stands for azeotrope, but we couldn't really call the brand azeotrope. So we got the name Azeo. And azeotrope, or azeotropic distillation, is the point in which water and ethanol can no longer separate. It's the purest level of distillation that is possible. And the name azeo comes from that simple fact. Molecularly, if you look in azeotrope, it resembles the seed of a dandelion, which is why you see the dandelions on the label. And also we use the reference of the separation of the dandelion as that sort of separation of the wine or the grape into a steam and eventually into a spirit and then creating new life into a vodka. You know, I became the lab tech out at Justin years ago, and that kind of forced my hand in the chemistry side of things, and I was able to develop quite an experienced background in the lab, and that's really where my chemistry base comes from.
Enough of that technical stuff. What really matters is how it tastes. This is where David comes in.
This is the vodka made 100% from apples.
So it's a combination of Granny Smith, Pink Ladies, and Crips Pink.
Okay, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to be drinking vodka. Well, it smells like vodka. You get the alcohol hit, which you'd expect. It is very smooth. I don't get as much of a sense of apples, but it tastes like vodka.
And that's the whole point with a neutral spirit, that you've really stripped away any of the sensory characteristic. By definition, a neutral spirit is no less than 190 proof. Generally, I'm distilling this a little bit higher, and I'm maintaining it higher. I'm cutting it so that nothing below 190 goes into this.
The apple vodka was great, and the grape vodka was just what I was looking for. It had a hint of grape in the background, but not much. It was like grappa, but not so harsh. This is what I set out to find on my spirit-filled journey. Maybe not at 10 o'clock in the morning, but it was such an amazing experience. I love learning how things are made, clearly the chemist in me, and I wanted to know more. So I headed down to Buellton. Buellton, you say? For split pea soup? Yes, Buellton. And no, to the soup. Maybe another time. Instead, I met up with Stephen Gertman of Ascendant Spirits.
I first became interested in spirits when I went to Scotland at the ripe age of 18. I tried my first single malt whiskies there, thought they were really onto something, and it began sort of a lifelong passion for spirits. That evolved over the years, and when I discovered what was going on in the craft spirits movement here in the U.S., several years ago, I decided to quit my old career, which I was not finding myself very satisfied in, and take a big left turn and dive in headfirst into distilling. So I gave my 2 weeks' notice, and the next day after I had left my job in entertainment, I was up in Northern California mashing in my first whiskey. I started construction on our distillery in Buellton. We fired up the stills for the first time and started our first distillations in January 2013. And we've been distilling like mad people ever since.
That's surprising that you didn't get yourself in any trouble in Scotland, because whiskey is quite treacherous. I mean, I taught myself how to drink whiskey when I was about 27. And I remember taking a sip and then putting the bottle back on the shelf for about a month until I said, I'm going to get it out again. And you know, that the time between shelvings got shorter and shorter. And now I love single malt scotch. I've been to one of the whiskey festivals in Scotland, and I've been to Scotland whiskey tasting about 4 or 5 times. So at 18, when you didn't really drink, what was your first reaction when you took a drink of single malt scotch?
Well, I was fascinated. I thought, you know, there was a lot of complexity. I've always been a fan of sort of smoky foods, barbecue, things like that. And some of that, the heaviness of some of that peat smoke that comes through in scotch, I found very interesting. I certainly thought it was, you know, that it had more going on than vodka, which is essentially neutral. It's supposed to have, you know, nothing going on. And I've always been a bit of a foodie as a really young boy, watching people like Julia Child and Jacques Pepin on PBS, and that then I started cooking at a young age, and then this was sort of an evolution of that passion for food and beverage.
I've drunk whiskey with the Scots. It can be pretty hardcore. Stephen clearly got the bug for distilling in Scotland, but he learned the tricks of the trade from a master distiller in Colorado. He did some time there and then came back to the Central Coast to take advantage of the wealth of natural resources we have for distilling craft spirits.
We have now 11 spirits, 3 different bourbons, 3 different corn whiskeys, 4 different vodkas, and our latest is our gin. We started with our Breaker bourbon, then we added our American Star vodka, then we added our Silver Lightning corn whiskey moonshine, and then we started sort of flushing out more and more from there.
What? No grape-based vodka? I'm a bit disappointed, but I'm definitely keeping an open mind. Okay, so let's get to the vodkas.
I'd like to tell a story and every word is true. It's all about a substance, a very special brew. It keeps the Russians warm where they seldom see the sun. There's nothing like the vodka, boy, a vodka is the one. It has no additives or colorings, in fact, it's crystal clear.
I'm thinking back to the grape and apple vodka at Azio, and hearing about these naturally infused vodkas at Ascendant Spirits, I'm starting to cultivate ideas of what to do with them. But let's hear more of what Stephen has to say.
It's all gone. Oh, they drink it in Siberia. It's dignified and smart. It's not like old gassy beer. It won't make you belch or fart. It keeps the Russians warm where they seldom see the sun. There's nothing like the vodka, boy. The vodka is the one.
Our vodkas are all made from yellow American sweet corn. I like using corn for vodka because I find it gives a really clean spirit with a hint of sweetness on the finish. Certain vodkas will actually add some sort of sweetener to them to get that same sort of mouthfeel. If they stay under a certain limit, they don't actually have to add anything to the label that says that. So we have our original, which is just our American Star vodka at 80 proof. It's 5 times distilled, put through a rigorous proprietary filtration process. And then we use that same vodka base to make our 3 flavored vodkas. We use the real agricultural products to flavor our flavored vodkas. So the first flavored vodka we did was our caviar lime vodka. Caviar limes are also sometimes known as Australian finger limes. They were rebranded by the local grower in Goleta as caviar limes. The fruit inside the lime will come out like little pearls of caviar. They're really delicious. It's just got this really intense, bright citrus oil. And there's compounds found in the skins of the caviar lime that aren't found in any other citrus in the world. And then the second vodka we came out with is our strawberry vodka, where we use fresh organic strawberries from Santa Maria. It's got this really nice, true strawberry flavor. It's not like some sort of artificial bubblegum. And then our fourth vodka is our most bold. It's flavored with hardwood smoked ghost chilies. Those I do not source locally simply because the ones that I tried sourcing locally were not as spicy as I wanted them to be. To have their full spiciness, they have to have really hot growing conditions. So we source those from their native India. And they're hardwood smoked, so some nice smoky character comes through, as well, of course, as that capsaicin spice. It's got kick to it. If you don't like spicy things, it may not be for you. If you like spicy things, you shouldn't have a problem. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to be something for a YouTube video where you're rolling around on the floor, you know, asking people to take you to the hospital. The original intent for the ghost chili was to make a better Bloody Mary. I did not like how in Bloody Marys, every ingredient seemed to have acid in it. In particular, I like things spicy. Most hot sauces are vinegar-based. Lots of extra acid on top of the tomatoes, the little bit of citrus, whatever else you're using in there. So this allows you to remove that hot sauce and still get this great spice and smoky character to your Bloody Mary, which makes it really, really delicious.
I tried all 4 vodkas, all of which were fantastic, but one of them stuck out considerably.
So the ghost chili one is last. Not only do I like vodka, but I like hot, spicy stuff. It's smell, of course, chilies don't really smell until you put them in the blender, but this smell, of course, is the hardwood smoked. It smells like a barbecue.
You'll get a little smoke on the nose, but it does not have a big nose, but it's big on the palate.
Whoa! 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 Wow. Okay. This is very complex, and I would not be able to describe this had I not been whiskey tasting in Scotland a lot. Those flavors are not one after the other. You get both the chili and the smoke at the same time, but it's kind of like it's split down the tongue down the palate because I can taste the chili and know the chili independently of the smoke. And then you get this smoke and it's like you've been over your tribe tip barbecue all afternoon. I've had chili vodka and I've had smoked whiskeys, you know, peat, they're smoked with the peat up in Scotland. And this is, it's amazing. I mean, how did you, it's magic. How, did you go to Hogwarts to figure out, is that what you're doing in Scotland? Is going to Hogwarts to figure out how to make this ghost chili vodka?
No, J.K. Rowling did not help me with this, unfortunately. Magic would have been very useful, but it was really trial and error, science in action, experimentation.
One thing you might not know is that the distillers can't actually sell their products on site. They can only run tasting rooms. Some of these products are readily available on the Central Coast in some of the specialty liquor outlets you would expect. Others are much harder to come by. I was incredibly fortunate to get the tiny tastes that I got. There was one more place I wanted to try out, a distillery that's been on the Central Coast for a bit longer than the others, and in the most unlikely place, Gonzales, just south of Salinas. It was time to visit Fogs End Distillery and its founder and master distiller, Craig Packish, who fired up his still in 2009.
So I'm a one-man company. I make it, I bottle it, and I do the sales. This is the original product that I started out with, was California Moonshine. So I use a no-cook sour mash method where I'm not fully cooking the grain. So I'm not getting a good starch to sugar conversion when you cook it. So the moonshiners would add sugar. And then when you pitched the yeast to it, you'd get an 8 to a 10% alcohol. If you fully cook the grain, it's more efficient but requires better equipment. And if you're out in the woods trying to make moonshine, you don't have access to all that nice equipment. It produces more flavor of the grain in the product. So when you do the tasting, you'll notice that my California Moonshine, which is made from corn and cane sugar, you'll notice a hint of corn husk flavor to it.
This was supposed to be about vodka, and specifically grape-based vodka. But who am I to turn down a tasting? If I'm truly a connoisseur of craft spirits, I need to try everything. So here goes.
So next we're going to taste the California Moonshine, which is made from corn and cane sugar. I bottled it at a 90 proof.
I get something that is much more, I suppose it's corn husk, like roasted corn husk.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. I've never tasted anything like that, ever.
It goes good in your coffee, and it goes good with 7-Up or, you know, make a mixed drink with it. But a lot of people just like to sip it because it is soft. Moonshine has a bad reputation of it's going to, you know, you're going to be overwhelmed by the harshness. And I run my still. I do one slow distillation run, and I make sure I get an excellent heads cut. And the heads cut is I'm getting rid of the acetone and methanol. And the heart of the run is the ethanol. That's what we drink.
Yeah, we don't want to drink the acetone.
No.
You can do your nails with the acetone, but you don't want to drink the acetone.
So by running this still slowly through this low temperature range, I remove all the acetone and methanol.
I've tasted vodka and moonshine. And remember, this is Central Coast artisan stuff, not that stuff that comes in a 2-liter plastic bottle for $5. Playing with food is exactly that. Me playing with food. So I want to do something with these spirits and the contents of my refrigerator. So I asked each of them what could be done with their products, starting with Craig.
My series is called Playing with Food, and what I want to be able to do is go home with one of your products and make a new and interesting dish. And the obvious thing to do with drinks is to make another drink, but I actually want to make dinner. How can I use any of your products in my kitchen?
You know, a fellow is making some food with the Primo Agua Ardiente, and he sent me his recipe, but I think it's lost on my phone now. It's somewhere. I mean, I keep things, but I couldn't right now, you know, find it for you. I'd have to give him a call and have him send it again.
That was not very helpful.
I have had some people use my moonshine to make some pastries. They have a little pastry shop called Dolly Cakes in Salinas. And they were using the moonshine for one of their recipes. They were experimenting.
A bit better, and he even took me to Dolly Cakes.
Hi, this is Emily Infante from Dolly Cakes. So we're doing a chocolate cake. It's our triple chocolate cake. It has moonshine, bananas, and it has a chocolate ganache. We also make a lemon cupcake with his moonshine that has lemon zest, moonshine, and lemon buttercream. The alcohol in it does something to the bread where it's just really, really moist texture. They're in both the batter and some of our ganache and frostings. It's a really nice light taste. You could definitely get a little bit of the moonshine, but it's mostly makes the cake really moist.
That's really cool, and I do want to try that. But what else is out there? I first asked Ryan from Azio, then Stephen from Ascendant.
So yeah, we went to the California Mid-State Fair for the mixologist competition with our Zeo vodka here this year. A gentleman, a mixologist from the street side out of Atascadero, he took the vodka and he made a play on the French 75 drink, which he called the French 805. It's vodka and he had some homemade honey he worked with, some simple syrup, sort of a champagne topper and rosemary garnish to it. And that was the People's Choice winner.
I absolutely think you can cook with these vodkas. In particular, we've done a bunch of cooking stuff with our caviar lime and with our ghost chili because I think those have the flavors that are most bold and lend themselves to cooking the best. We have used them in marinades. One of my favorites, actually, is for a dozen oysters, half of them with ghost chili, half of them with caviar lime. So a little fire and ice, and it's fantastic. One of my favorites was just a really simple one, which was using the ghost chili for a marinade that we did with shrimp for the grill. It's a nice smoky kick to it that's highlighted by that little bit of smoke off the grill. Just barely needs any time on the fire to grill up and gobble them up by the dozens.
Here's my dilemma. Only one of them gave me a bit of a lead, so I'm going to have to figure this out myself. I'm literally going to be playing with food in my kitchen. So I took out a second, third, and fourth mortgage on the house and bought several bottles of these spirits with which to experiment.
I have some Serrano chilies just hanging around because I bought some that were on clearance and I've got a lot. And I thought, well, why not make a roasted Serrano, roasted tomato, roasted onion, roasted garlic salsa, blended salsa with some cilantro, and then put this moonshine in it. The moonshine that's the one that is chili infused. Surely the chilies will complement each other. So here we go. We're going to give it a try. And now we're going to add that moonshine with the chili in it. Now we're going to try this salsa that I made. I just must tell you that it's still warm because the stuff just came out of the oven. So dip a homemade chip in there. Wow, that has quite a kick. There's a kick from the Serranos, definitely. Serranos are all over the place. But then there's this added depth of heat, which I know comes from the moonshine. I got myself some shrimp, and I'm going to work with it in two different ways. I'm going to take Steve's example and put some of his ghost chili vodka to soak these in and make a little kind of modern shrimp cocktail. And then I'm going to put some of them in the moonshine. So here we go. Nice hot grill. And because I don't want to waste that vodka that I bought, I'm going to flash that onto the grill pan and then put the cover on for just a couple seconds. I don't want the shrimp to get overcooked, but I want them to get as much infusion of this smoked chili as possible. I'm going to make an avocado puree to go with my shrimp cocktail. So I have the smoked ghost chili infused shrimp with smoked ghost chili vodka infused tomatoes on a squirt of vodka puree with a homemade tortilla chip. And I think that would make a great appetizer. I'm going to do the exact same thing with the moonshine infused shrimp as I did with the chili infused shrimp. So now I'm going to try the whole appetizer together in one bite. Tomato, chip, avocado puree. Mmm. That's really good. You get this warm sensation in your mouth. All the flavors are there. All the flavors are fantastic. There's not a thing I would change about that dish at all. It's perfect. Now for the moonshine shrimp. The moonshine shrimp are completely unadorned. It's just shrimp
marinated in moonshine and on the grill pan. Mmm, I really like that. If I lived on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, I would buy a gallon of this moonshine. I'd go catch some absolutely fresh shrimp and shell and clean them. I would soak those shrimp in that moonshine for half an hour, and then I'd cook them over at the campfire on the beach and just turn your shrimp boil into something completely different where shrimp is abundant. And if I was in New England, I'd add a gallon of this moonshine to my lobster boil and my crab boil with all of those other things in it. That was really fantastic. We have a wealth of craft spirits here on the Central Coast, and as you heard from each of these three distillers, the raw products going into their spirits are taking advantage of and highlighting the quality of the abundance of gifts we have here on the Central Coast. Grapes, apples, chilies, caviar limes, and of course strawberries. These distillers work hard to produce the best product they can. Not all of their products may be to your taste, which is why they each make several different types. And it's not all fun and games. Stephen Gertman again from Ascendant Spirits.
There are a lot of challenges. I mean, being an entrepreneur in general has a lot of challenges. I used to work a lot. Now I'm a total slave to myself. I work from usually the moment I wake up in the morning till the moment I pass out at night.
Do you pass out from the fumes?
No, I don't pass out from the fumes. It's usually exhaustion. But, you know, sometimes it's with, like, my computer still open and on next to me on the bed, which has caused some dents to my computer as it's hit the ground on occasion. You know, some of the regulatory stuff early on is a challenge. It's a lot to navigate. But as you grow, that only continues to get more complicated. There's a lot of money that flows that we don't necessarily have the deep pockets for. We're not multi-billion dollar, you know, international conglomerates. So it's a different model all the way from, you know, the local bar to the large distributor who distributes your product in, you know, different states around the country.
Grape based vodka was my initial adventure, but I discovered a bit more. I am a fan of vodka, and the serious kind, not the silly kind. The vodkas I tasted for this segment were created with care, skill, and gifts of the spirit, if I'm allowed to offer that. The other spirits were just as spectacular. This venture was just my pinky toe into the Pacific of Central Coast craft spirits. There is definitely a craft spirit out there for every person on the Central Coast, whether you think you like spirits or not. You have to set your mind beyond the norm that has been set for us by the high volume producers for the last 40 years. What's even better is that I've proven that it's possible to take the craft spirits of the Central Coast and make something for dinner. Getting past the cocktail or the dessert is hard, but being a little adventurous can lead to some fantastic new creations that may even become your signature dish. Open your mind, your body, and your spirit to the possibilities of Central Coast craft spirits. This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.